Okay? Great. We have power. Okay, let's pray, shall we? Lord God, we thank you for this brand new morning. Thank you for your love and your faithfulness that surrounds us. Lord, as we think about leadership issues this morning, we pray that you would please shape us, sharpen us, and speak into our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning's session, we're looking at some leadership issues. We've been doing this for a while with people in our church family. And we all have leadership in different ways. So spheres of influence. You have a sphere of influence somewhere. And in that sense, you exercise leadership, either good leadership or poor leadership. But we do lead. We influence. Proverbs 4:23. Have a look at that. Grab a Bible. Proverbs 4:23. One of my favorite Bible verses. Proverbs 4, verse 23. What I want to do this morning is really bounce off last Sunday morning's ministry on treasure in our hearts and how that shapes us. But Proverbs 4:23 says this: above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And that really kind of links in nicely what we were looking at last week in Matthew 6. Turn over there, Matthew 6, 19 to 21. And I want to try and apply, really, these principles here about our hearts and what our treasure is, how that our hearts shape everything, specifically to areas of leadership. So Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's try and apply that to leadership. And what I want to do, I've got a handout, which I'll get in a moment. I realize it's in my bag back there, but I'll get that in a moment. What I want us to do is to reflect on it. It's a blog I came across by Paul Tripp, and it's in his book, Dangerous Calling, where he looks at the problem of shifting treasure, how our treasure shifts from one thing to another in leadership. And he tells his story. He says that one Sunday morning, he's finished preaching. After the service, a man comes up to him and says, can I make an appointment to see you? And Paul Tripp says, well, I'm thinking perhaps he was touched by the sermon, wants to talk through how to apply it specifically to his life. What he actually wanted to do was to tell Paul Tripp how bad his sermons were. Painful was the word that he used. And that he was also speaking for others who felt the same. It's a killer, isn't it? People say that. Oh, it's not just me. Others are saying. And he says, I was quite hurt by that. And he says, next Sunday, I got up to preach and I looked out. Everyone had normal sized heads apart from this guy. And this is what he says. His head seemed huge with eyes of the Mona Lisa that seemed to be staring at me from every angle. In ways that I'd been previously unaware, there had been a subtle shift in the motivation of my heart. Sure, I wanted to be faithful, but I also wanted something else. I was determined to win this man. I was determined that he would come to me and say, Paul, I was wrong. You are really a terrific preacher. Now, it's very honest, isn't it? What I wanted to do, just turn with the people near to you and try and think of a situation either where you received negative feedback and that disproportionately affected you. So that who is your person with the big head next time you came to do something? You just couldn't get them out of your mind. No names, by the way. But or maybe it was a situation where you were just in awe of somebody. Maybe it wasn't negative feedback or anything. It was just someone was there when you were doing your thing, and there was someone who just you were in awe of, and it shaped just the way you did everything. Okay? Just 2 minutes in the person next to you, or twos or threes, to share stories. How does that happen for you? Thank you. Okay, we're not going to share all those stories now. Here's one for me. Some time back, Dick Lucas came to our church, visited our church, and I knew he was coming that week. And I really tried hard not to be shaped by that sermon, to be shaped by what I knew he would think was good preaching. It's really hard. And I really searched my heart about what is my motivation for preaching. That's just an example for me. I'm sure you've got your own examples. But Dick's head was extremely big in that service. Nothing to do with him. He's a humble guy. But in my view, it was wrong. So when our kingdom takes over in our lives, in our thinking, it is really an issue of shifting treasure. So that all we do and say, it should be Christ-centered. It should be grace-driven. We should be storing up treasures in heaven. But our leadership, whatever spheres of influence you have in your life, whether it's in church, in work, in school, or at home, it's so easy to start to be shaped by a whole load of earthbound treasures. The way that we lead drives the treasure of our hearts. Our treasure controls the thoughts, the desires of our hearts, and shapes how we lead. And Paul Tripp gives 5 possible ways that treasure can shift from heaven to earth in the heart of a leader. And I'm going to go through those, and we're going to do a very simple thing. I just want to talk about each one, and then we're going to, just in groups, we're going to talk about what resonates most with you, which is the one that you're most likely. You can see the questions at the bottom there. Which of these resonate with you most? What is the impact on leadership and on followers? So just thinking through, if this is true of you, how will that affect your leadership? And how will it affect those who follow you, who are under your sphere of influence? And then what is the answer to our treasure-shifting tendencies? Okay, let's have a look at them, each one of them. We're going to whiz through these, obviously, in terms of time. And I want to have good time to talk about them. So first of all, identity. So when our treasure shifts from identity in Christ to identity in leadership. Identity in leadership or ministry. In leadership, it's very tempting to look horizontally to people for treasure, forgetting that all we already have, all that we need is in Christ. So that at a functional level, we forget our privileged identity. We begin to need our worth, our inner sense of well-being, our meaning and our purpose to be affirmed by the people we serve and the things we achieve. So our hope and our courage should really come from resting in Christ. But our leadership becomes shaped by the treasure of temporary affirmation of our value and our worth from people. And what that does is it robs leadership and influence of boldness. You know, we're influenced by, well, how much praise we got, or how little praise we got, how well it went, or whether it crashed. It makes us all too focused on those in the circle of our influence and how they're responding. So that's identity. Secondly, maturity. So my spiritual well-being being defined by my leadership, not by the mirror of God's word. My spiritual well-being defined by my leadership, not by the mirror of God's word. So knowledge, how much we know, must not be confused with Christian maturity. Being effective is not the same as practical holiness. Successful leadership is not the same as a heart for Christ. Growth in influence can't be confused with growth in grace. They are different. And it's tempting to allow this shift to happen in the way that we evaluate our maturity as leaders, people of influence. So rather than living with a deep neediness for the continued grace of God in our hearts, because we're experienced and we've had some success, we begin to see ourselves as a bit more mature than we actually are. So feelings of arrival mean we don't sit under the preached word. We don't lead out of a winsome heart and a tender heart, a humble heart. and we don't seek support from others in the body of Christ. And typically it means that our devotional times, one of the things I think it shows in, our devotional times get squeezed. And our view of others tends to be more judgmental. So, maturity. Thirdly, reputation. So this is where our treasure shifts from leadership that's shaped by a zeal for the reputation of Christ to a leadership shaped by my hunger for the praise of people. Our leadership should be motivated by the glory of Christ. We know that. Our spheres of the ways we influence others should be motivated by His glory. That His fame will be known more and more by more people. And that together we would submit to His lordship in very practical ways. But instead our leadership is easily seduced by the treasure of our own reputation. So our hearts begin to be captured by the desire to be esteemed by others. The buzz of being needed. The allure of standing out in the crowd. The glory of being in charge. And the power of being right. And this makes it hard for us to admit we're wrong. To submit to the counsel of others. To surrender control. And to not have to win the day and prove we're right. It makes it hard to do those things. It makes it hard to accept blame and to share credit. And it makes us less than excited about leadership as part of a broader team. And seeing ourselves as part of what God is doing in the body of Christ. It's a reputation. Fourthly, importance. Importance. This is where our treasure shifts from a rest in the essential presence of Jesus the Messiah to beginning to see myself as way too essential to what God is doing. So easy to do this. So where once we viewed ourselves as one of many tools in God's kingdom toolbox, we now begin to see ourselves as too central, too important to what God is doing in our local setting. So rather than resting in the person and work of Jesus the Messiah, we start to load onto ourselves the burden of the individual and collective growth of God's people. It goes on our shoulders. And we should, to some extent, feel responsible for how we input. But we're not responsible for their spiritual growth and well-being. We devalue the importance of the gifts and leadership of others. We're tempted to take on more than we can achieve. And this is so easy to do in ways that we're probably not aware of. We've begun to try to be the Messiah instead of resting our identity as a tool in His faithful, His powerful hands. And then lastly, confidence. So this is where our treasure shifts from leadership out of a humble confidence in the transforming grace of God to being way too confident in my own experience and gifting. So longevity, sticking at it, and success in leadership, they're good things. But they can also be dangerous for the heart of a leader. We're all capable of becoming all too confident in ourselves. So our confidence, that shift begins to take place from the treasure of humble confidence in the power of God's saving grace to beginning to rest in our own knowledge, our own abilities, our own gifts, our own experience. And the ways this shows, well, we typically don't grieve enough for our sin. We don't pray enough. We don't prepare enough. We don't confess enough. And we don't listen to others enough. And we've begun to think that we can do things that we aren't gifted at doing. And other people have to bear it. So we don't minister out of our sense of our own need of Christ and His grace, and we don't seek the help of others. Well, I hope that's just helpful, just to kind of unpack a bit what that treasure shifting looks like. And my guess is that depending on your personality, depending on the unique ways that God has entrusted influence to you, leadership to you, your life circumstances, the whole load of stuff, the whole package that you are, your history, your particular circumstances now, all those things come to bear on which of those things maybe resonate most with you. You may want to apply this into your, I mean, we can think about our different spheres of influence. So whether it's in church, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in the home, whether it's informally amongst friends, or whether it's in our community, the community we belong to. And we all have spheres of influence in those different ways. And what I want us to do now is just kind of, in groups, spend a bit of time, and perhaps then have a bit of feedback. Which of these resonate with you most? In other words, which are you most like? I mean, I can see myself in all of them, actually. I'm guessing most of you can, too. And at different times, one or other of those comes to the fore. But have a bit of a discussion about what do you think you're most likely, we're most likely to land as the most common one in terms of your personality and where you're at spiritually. And then what is the impact of that particular treasure shifting on leadership, on your leadership? How does that mean that you tend to lead? And then how does that impact those who are under your influence, who are your followers? And then what's the answer? Why don't we spend a bit of time, we've got some time, which is good. Let's spend a bit of time in groups, talking that through. Let's try and be honest with each other. And then we'll have a bit of feedback in a moment. Okay, in groups. Okay, should we come back together? So a bit of feedback. It's actually quite hard, isn't it, I think, to nail. I mean, if I was to say to you, let's all put a tick against the one that we're most like here, it's actually quite hard to. I don't like that. And I was just kind of standing here thinking, okay, I've asked you to do that. I need to do that myself. So what is it for me? And here's my thought process, okay, which is so it shows how incredibly sinful I am. So I think it's probably number three, reputation. From leadership that is shaped by a zeal for the reputation of Christ to a leadership that's shaped by my hunger for the praise of people. But here's how my thought process then went.
Don't tell them,
because that's going to make you look bad. So I'm like, I'm going to crucify that one right now and confess it to you, because that's me. I'm not going to ask you to do that. here's another layer of complication. I'm now going to say that, so you think, actually, he's really quite humble, isn't he? Fair enough. And so it goes on. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because those kind of thought processes happen, you know, in our hearts. Our hearts are incredibly slippery, and there are layers of pride. Andy.
Would you say there's so much of it, as we were discussing, it comes down to motivation?
Right.
Because are we looking sometimes about, okay, look, here we are, we're looking to serve the Lord. Actually, no, we're looking to serve ourselves. Or are we trying to build a kingdom, or are we trying to build up our own reputation?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's fair to say that everything we do is mixed with sin, isn't it? That doesn't say we shouldn't do things, but even our most pure acts and thoughts, that they're always less than they really ought to be in the light of God's glory, and often there's kind of dark things in there as well. That shouldn't cripple us, but it should make us very, very humble and repentant. Yeah. Did you talk about at all about the impact that it has on leadership and followership? Any one of those particular things? Get that far? No, that's right. And yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so when we're driven by reputation and importance, it stifles the growth of others. Yeah.
And just, you talked in our group about having an environment.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So both praise and encouragement, but also constructive criticism, and that being okay. Yeah, creating a culture that's okay. Yeah. David, yeah. Yeah, thank you. And that being driven by loving the Lord, whether it be overseas or tomorrow morning as you walk into your workplace or this afternoon as you walk back to family, driven by Christ-loving, sacrificial leadership. That is the answer, I think, isn't it? Our last question there is to make sure that is the case and to be nurturing our love for Christ. I think if you look at each of those treasure shifts there, I think they explain a lot about some of our leadership challenges we have, whether it be in our workplaces, in our churches, in our homes. A lot of it comes down to treasure shifting by somebody or other or lots of people that we've looked at this morning. And I think also when leadership becomes burdensome, it's typically because one of these treasure shifts has happened. Leadership should be a joy. You know, wherever God has given you influence, that should be a joy to you. But actually, I think it becomes less than joy when we allow these treasure shifts to happen. And the kingdom of self, of course, is seductive. And it's particularly seductive when Christ isn't our treasure. When, as David was saying, if only your love for him was uppermost. I think we can all relate to that. And when we do that, when it's about us, then we begin to think of ourselves as poor when grace has made us rich. And we seek riches in places that they just can't be found in our leadership. And the answer is not to run away in panic, in shame, but to run to the cross. The grace of the cross has covered that, our leadership struggles too. We confess those. And we carry on leading as God has called us to, knowing that he can rescue us from ourselves as we lead. As we do that humbly. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for our time together today. Thank you for grace that is sufficient for all of our sins, all of our leadership sins. Thank you, Lord, that you've called each one of us to be people of influence in different spheres. We pray that we would exercise what you have entrusted to us with humility and with great love for Christ, we pray. Lord, we need you. We call out to you. We cast ourselves on you. We pray with the one short life you give us, make us useful in building your kingdom for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's tea and coffee time.